It's real easy to get caught up into Jesus. Sometimes we make it like it's hard, but it's very easy if you just bypass all the formalities and get to the personality of Jesus. It's real easy. I found out that being like Christ is not hard at all, but sometimes you have the wrong perspective. And sometimes you're looking at something from the wrong way, and so because you look at it from the wrong way, you end up doing things the wrong way. And it just becomes hard. You ever done something and it was just like you didn't know how to do? Like, I remember my uncle taught me how to hammer in nails, and they say, "Son, you're choking the hammer too hard. Put your hand on there and let it swing." Right? I was using a sledgehammer. They taught me some things. I remember I had to shovel some dirt, and the same uncle shovel some dirt. So Uncle Roy shovel some dirt, and we shoveling, and I'm just struggling. Like I'm getting it out the ground, but then I'm almost throwing the shovel throwing me, I'm flying with the shovel. And so I just see him over there just dipping shovel in a little bit of water, dipping that water. And every time he hit that dirt just slide off of him. He just sit there and look at me, laugh at me for a minute until I pay attention. Everybody say pay attention.
Pay attention.
Until I pay attention and watch how he was doing the thing that he was doing. See, it's not always about doing something, but it's about doing it the right way, the way that it was intended to be done. Are you understanding me? You can do things, you can do the right things, but do them the wrong way and it becomes difficult for you. Do I have a witness? Sometimes we do all the things right, but don't get all the results like we want right when we want them, right? And sometimes, I know Jesus said my yoke is easy. Didn't he say that? But sometimes it don't be seeming like that, do it? Can we tell the truth? Come on, come on, come on now. Y'all got to tell the truth. Come on, everybody say yeah. Y'all know how I rock. Everybody say yeah. Everybody say amen. We're going to own up to it all tonight, all right? So sometimes I see the scripture saying my yoke is easy and my burden is light, but that thing seems heavy and hard, right? It seems difficult. And and many times it's because we're trying to do the right thing, but we may be doing them the wrong way. Now remember, the way is not an action, it's a person. John 14:6. Anybody know it off top of your head? Come on, if you know it, say it, go. Now somebody, hold on, you can say it, and it says somebody said it at the beginning. It specified who was saying this. And Jesus said unto them, okay, I just want to make sure so we know who's talking. And then what did he say?
I am the way, the truth, and the
life. I am the way. So I ain't going to show you the way. I am the way. The truth and the life. So it's a person. Say the way is a person. And so it's very easy, if you pay attention, very easy to fall into Jesus. John, I ain't going to tell you where I'm going yet. One of the hardest conversations I've ever had, or the hardest conversations that I used to have, and sometimes I guess it'll still happen, but one of the hardest conversations, you're going to laugh when I say this, one of the hardest conversations I used to have is when you're dating and, you know, you spend some time with somebody and y'all started liking each other a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then something happened, you realize this ain't going to be it. it's not going to go any further than this right here. And so the hardest conversation was the conversation that ends up saying, let's be friends. That let's be friends conversation was so difficult because, you know, you had spent some time. You know what I'm saying? You had got to know each other a little bit. And then now it's time to say, you know what? Let's be friends. I think we're better off as friends. Sometimes we say, let's just be friends. In other words, ain't nothing else happening after this. Let's just be friends. This is a difficult conversation at times. But from our Western, and I say Western, when I say Western, I'm talking about American, I'm talking about the English, the way we think, the culture that we're in. From our Western conversation, it seemed like when I said, let's be friends, that I'm talking about being lesser than something else. It seemed like if we was together or we was whatever the next thing is after friends, that it would be more than just friends. We're more than friends. You know, you say, that's just great. Well, we're not just friends. We're more than friends. Our Western culture doesn't understand the term friend. And so it seems a degrade. Or it seems that it's something lower because I said, you know, we friends. John chapter 14, sometimes there's things that you call in yourself in relationship to Jesus, and you overdoing it a little bit. It's the best way I could describe it. John 13 starts at John 13 and John 14. It goes through this, and I want to read it quick so I can get to the point. It won't take me long to get to the point of this. But over in John 13, they say, they got to one part. It says, verse 21, John 13, 21. I'm just going to skip through. It says, when Jesus had thus said, he was telling them some things. Then he said he was troubled in his spirit and testified, saying, verily I say unto you, one of y'all going to betray me. All right. A little further on, he says, Peter started asking, well, which one? He's trying to figure out, is it me? Who going to do it, Lord? Is it me? He said, the one that gives sop to us, the one that's going to betray him. Later on, he gives sop to Judas. And they say, after he done that, right after he did that, they say, Satan entered into Judas. Yeah. And so he makes a statement to him. He said, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. In other words, don't wait no longer. Don't take no more time. You can go ahead and do it. I'm ready. Right. I'm ready for whatever. Do your worst. I'm ready for whatever it is you got to do. Judas leaves, and Jesus makes a statement, and he starts talking different to him. And at the end of that, John chapter 13, John chapter 14, and going to verse 15, chapter 15, he starts talking different then. He says, okay, now I'm no longer going to talk to y'all in parables or mysteries. I'm about to talk plainly to y'all. And the reason I can talk plainly to y'all is the one that wasn't with us is gone. Are y'all understanding something? So now I'm trying to give you context to where I'm about to go. I'm trying to give you context to what is being said when I get to the point that we're talking about. I'm trying to give you context to what's going on in the room. So we're in the room right now with everybody, all the disciples. We're all in the room together. And now the betrayer has left. Satan entered him. He gone. So now Jesus said, now I can tell y'all what I've really been trying to tell y'all all the time. I've been talking in parables because there have been a bunch of strange people around. All right. Or there have been some people that have been acting like they were on the team, but really wasn't about it. They were acting like they were going to die, but wasn't ready to die for it. Uh-oh. They did all the stuff in church, and they raised their hands, and they shouted, but they wasn't ready to die. I said something the other day. It's amazing how many things we do, but we constantly evade crucifixion with Christ. Quiet in the house of the Lord. We constantly evade going all the way. And there is no other way. I ain't got no other way for you but that way. So we in the room now. I know it's getting a little heavy. So we in the room. And now he's talking to them plainly. He's saying some things to them and explaining some things about his relationship with them and their relationship with him and all of their relationship with the Father. And I want to make it plain what I've been trying to tell y'all the whole time, because I'm about to go. This thing that I told y'all was going to happen to me is about to happen. So I need you to understand what's going on when it's going on. I can't talk to you in parables no more. I got to talk plainly to you. Are y'all with me? So now after this, when we get to John 14, he starts verse 6. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He starts verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. And we can go down and down and read all these scriptures, right? Now, chapter 15, verse 1, and I have to get this in verse 4. In chapter 14, he starts talking about the comforter. I'm going to send the comforter. He's going to show you all things. And he starts to tell them that you're going to start seeing and knowing how I do things. You are about to start seeing and knowing how I function. I'm about to allow you. I've been functioning in front of you, but obviously you hadn't been understanding. So now there's going to be some clarity. Some clarity is going to come up on your mind so that you can do things like I do things. Why? Because I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And watch this. After that, he says, nobody can come to the Father but by me. That means nobody can be one with the Father or function like the Father or have the power of the Father and represent the Father unless you do it like Jesus. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. You get what he's saying? So now he's guiding them in a certain direction where they can change their identity. Change from just being holy Jews to being Jesus. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? So now we read. Chapter 15, verse 1, he started talking to me. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Sometimes we run away from the purge. We don't want to get cut. But that cutting is for you to bear more fruit. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide. And when you see the word abide, it's talking about stay there permanently. Don't visit me. Okay, don't act like me sometimes. I don't need you to be spiritual. I need you to be me. I don't need you to get holy or do something holy. I need you to be that. Abide. That means I'm living there. That means I'm dwelling there. I'm staying there. It's permanent. I ain't got no other house. Ain't no other personality gonna come out of me but that one. Right? Right? I don't have to get right. I am. Oh, y'all listen to me. I don't have to put myself in the right line. I am the right line. Oh, y'all listen to me. So abide in me and I in you. Not around you, not with you, but in me and in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide where? In the vine. That same true vine that he's talking about. No more can you except you abide in me. So there are things that we are trying to produce as fruit that cannot be produced nowhere else but in Jesus. I'm not talking about in your church service. I'm not talking about in your, I'm talking about in Jesus, the personality. Verse 5, he says it again, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth, how much fruit? Much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Uh-oh. Anytime you're trying to produce something and you're getting nothing, you're outside. No, it's simple. Everybody say it's simple. Look at your neighbor and say it's simple. Come on, look at your neighbor and say it's simple. Look, it's not difficult. When you're trying to produce something, ain't nothing showing up, you're outside. You better look around and see what Christ said and get back on the inside. Without me, what have we been trying to do without him? Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth to the branch. I got to do a little reading and is withered. But men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Verse 7, you like that one. Y'all, I know this is the one we always go to. Let's read it. Ready, read. You should ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Not done for you, but done to you. You ever slow down and looked at that? Yeah, it's not going to be done for you. I thought it said you're going to get whatever you ask. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you'll ask what you will, but your will be my will because you abide in me and I'm in you. So you're not going to ask for what you want. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now my will end up changing. Some of the problems and hurdles and trips and traps that we've encountered or gotten is because we were doing things in our will. In our will, they got a trap. In our will, there's a hurdle that we can't get across. But then when they get over to his will, you have whatever it is, and it'll be done to you. Not for you. If I say not for me, not for to me. Come on, say it again. Not for me, not for to me. One more time, not for me, to me. It's transformation. That's change. It's identity change, Maud. It's identity change. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. He's describing some things. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you where? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandment, abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Can we get that one done? Amen. Let's slow down for a second. I'm about to get to another point. But can we get that one done? Can we love another like Jesus loved us? Well, how exactly did Jesus love us? He didn't judge us. Jesus said, well, I ain't condemning you. He said, where are your accusers? I ain't accusing you neither. There's no condemnation in Christ. There's no judgment in Christ. He's not out here telling you you're a wretched fool. That you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, he describes this love. Read it. Ready, read. Amen. Read it again. We're pretty clear. Those words are normal, right? They're pretty clear, right? Let's read it one more time so we be sure. Ready, read. So there's no greater love. We sing this song, no greater love, no greater love, right? No greater love. There's no greater love than this one. Like there's whatever you think love is, ain't got a greater one than this one. Okay, so mankind can't have a greater love than this one. What color is these words? What color in your Bible? What color? They red? Who's talking? Okay, so he's saying that there's no greater love. And I think we need to understand when he's saying these things to us, there's some things that got to come to reckoning when Jesus talks. We be skipping over stuff when Jesus talks to kind of hear ourselves or do the things that we want to do sometimes. But let's go exactly with what Jesus is saying. So he says this, there's no greater love than this. Then he explains that a man laid down his life for his siblings. His spouse. Oh, Lord. His cousins. Was the last word? I can't understand this with Jesus. Are you telling me that ain't nothing bigger? There's no way to show love. There's no greater love than this that I laid down my life for a friend. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't think about your friends that just stabbed you in the back, although I count them too. Are your connotation of friends? We don't have a good connotation. We don't have a good understanding in America right now. He could have put a lot of things in there. Brother, sister, mother, father, husband, wife, child, children, sons, daughters. He could have said a lot of different things. And I don't think Jesus was just talking to be talking. I think he was saying things for a reason, that there's no greater love than this, that a man had laid down his life for his friend. With an S. Plural. So, you know, let's be friends. I'm going to read a little bit more in a second. Let it marinate a little while. See, there's something about friends. See, when we just friends, everything that we do towards each other has no manipulation. It has no, I have no, I'm not bound to do it. Like, well, you this, so you got to do this. Right. You this, so you got to do this. No, if I do it, it really means I'm doing it out of some love. Because right. There's nothing else that's binding me to this moment right. But the fact that I want to be here and I'm doing this for you, yeah. Friend. There's nothing binding me to this moment. There's no stipulation. There's no contract, no rule, no nothing that's binding me here. So if I'm here, I'm here because I want to be here. And if I do it for you, I'm doing it because in my heart I want to do it for you. Not because somebody is making me do this thing or because of our relationship, I've got to do this for you. So now it's telling me that friends, okay, y'all listen to me. Everybody say friends. Come on, everybody say friends. Look at your neighbor and say, let's be friends. I know you might be with your husband and wife, whatever, but just say it. Look at your neighbor and say, let's be friends. Listen, so when I'm a friend, the Proverbs are talking about there's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. When I am a friend, that means that I am doing what I am doing because I ain't got nothing but love for you, baby. That's how the song used to go. Y'all know, y'all might not know that one. That's okay, I know it. I'm doing this not because my hands are tied or because I'm gonna look bad for not doing it for you. I'm doing this not because I'm afraid that you're going to leave me. Or not that I'm afraid that you're not going to love me if I don't do this. I am doing this fully out of my heart. Even if you don't do anything back for me, I'm going to do it because we're friends. Are y'all understanding me for a second? So now, let's be friends. Because greater love has no man than this. That he laid down his life for his friends. Verse 14, he's talking to him. He goes on to say, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now remember what he's commanding you is to love one another like I loved you. See, it goes, it's infinity for him. Like it seems like he's going in a circle, but it's not a circle, just one straight line. This is the way that life goes. This is the way, the truth, and the life, that you love one another like I have loved you. If we could get that one down, the world would change. This is what I'm trying to tell you. If we get that one down, our culture will begin to change one by one. We live in a merchandising society. Let me do you a little history. Before there was money, and before there was literal money, right, and passing out the money, and then you go to the store. Like, anybody went to the store today? Come on. I'm not gonna shine on you. Anybody went to the store? Anybody bought something to eat today? I'm not gonna ask you what you bought, but I paid for something. Anybody bought some gas today or whatever, right? Anybody exchanged any money for something today, right? Do you remember who you exchanged it with? You remember their name? Now, some people say yes, some people say no. Sometimes you can remember a face, sometimes you won't remember a face, but you won't say that you're connected to that person right now. So in the old days, before there was a commerce or exchange, people would exchange what they needed and it kept them connected. Hey, that tribe got furs, we got food, let's get together so we can be one so that nobody has any weaknesses. And it keeps us connected. But commerce and free commerce now has got it to the point to where we're putting it out there and we're leaving. We don't know no more. And it's a direction of separation. Are you understanding me? And so now we get to the bottom. What was I going before that? What were we talking about before that? Do what I command you. Friends. What else was talking about? You said love. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. In other words, if you keep on doing the love thing that I tell you to do, yeah, that's when I call you friends. That's how you can label yourself a friend. By continuing to do the thing that I told you to do. Continuing to go in the course that I told you to go in. Now I can call you a friend because of that. Are y'all listening to me? Verse, if they need to come back, it'll come back. Verse 15, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. Well, y'all see that? Now, we good. We okay with serving the Lord. Come on, I'm a servant. I'm a servant, right? I serve the Lord till the day I die. Right? We okay with the servanthood. Right? And we thought we were finished. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I serve Jesus. Right? And this is our conversation. But Jesus says, this, I don't call y'all servants. Who gave you the right to call yourself something else than what he called you? For the servant knoweth not what his Lord is doing. So what the servant does, the servant is this. Come here, go over there, get that, and come back here. We're not talking about nothing. Right? So get up, go over there, go get that, come back here, sit down, shut up. Go pick that up, fix that, work on that, bring it back over here. I'll talk to you later. Servant. Right? So he don't know what the Lord doing. He just know I do what I'm told to do. Lord putting two messages together, and I'm thankful that I'm going to be able to touch on both of them in a second. He don't know what the Lord is doing. But then Jesus says, let's be friends. Everybody say, let's be friends. Come on, say it again. Say, let's be friends. Come on, say it again. Say, let's be friends. But I have called you friends. And how does he describe that? How many of the things? For all the things I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. In other words, our friendship, when I call you a friend, I called some friends the other day and I said, listen, I don't need y'all to be following me no more. Y'all follow me around. How much you serving? I don't need that. We should have graduated now. We should have graduated. Oh, yeah, you can graduate from servanthood. I graduated from high school in the year 2000. That means I ain't got to take none of that stuff no more. Algebra, I hated it. Algebra 2, biology, all that, chemistry. I ain't got to take none of that. You remember when you graduated? Yeah, but I still got my diploma. And I still got my clout for what I had to do when I went through it. So just because I graduated don't mean I forgot how to count. Just because I graduated don't mean I forgot some algebra 2. Right? So it doesn't mean that this is not in my history or in my buildup or in my DNA or in the way that I function. But I can't stay in 11th grade forever. Like if I stay in 11th grade forever, like what is wrong? What is wrong with me? You got to put me in another class. If I stay there forever, you still in high school, you're 36. You still there, what's wrong with you, son? So there's a time to graduate. Henceforth, I call you not. So henceforth, he said, henceforth. So now, from here on out, from this time until the next time, I'm not calling y'all servants no more. Because the servant don't know what the Lord doing. So the servant trying to serve me and trying to live right and trying to do all the right thing, but they don't really know how to do it. Have you ever felt that way before? I'm trying to be in the will of God, but I don't really know where it's at right now. So now I need somebody to tell me where the will of God is. Come on. I'm trying to do the right thing, but I don't really know what the right thing is right now. And it's kind of foggy for me. And if we be honest, I know we don't like to be honest like that a lot of times. We want to seem deeper than we are. But if we be honest, a lot of times it's like that. Because the servant don't know. And maybe it's because of what you've been relating yourself to the Father as. Are y'all listening to me? Maybe it's because you have not let him graduate you. You're so busy like this, you can't see nothing. Be unto your glory, Lord. But you can't see nothing. I need to see how you're operating. Let me tell you something. Y'all can close your eyes, do whatever y'all want in service, and I'm not trying to make no law or not law about it. Y'all can close your eyes and the spirit moving or whatever y'all want to do and fall out, do whatever you do. This one person is not going to fall out, and he's going to have his eyes open looking just like this because I'm paying attention to see what the master's doing. Yes. When the apostles get to moving, y'all can do what y'all want. It might look like I'm out of the spirit, but you better know I'm on it. It might look like I don't know what's going on, and he's so carnal. He ain't nowhere in the spirit. I know he ain't feeling nothing. No. No, I feel it all. I'm actually feeling. Because I'm paying attention to what the master's doing. And so now I move from servanthood, just doing something without knowing what's being done, to now I know the intricacies and the insights of what's going on, so that not only that I can know them, but I can reproduce them when I'm not with the master. This old statement said, give a man a fish, eat for a day. Teach him how to fish. He don't need you to keep over there and throwing the hook for him. But your honor keep you connected to the one that taught you. That's why he said the servant will never be greater than the master. You ever heard that before? Because the honor keep you connected to the one that brought you. Dance with the one that brung you. But now as a friend, when I allow myself to graduate from just doing stuff, doing what I'm told to do, I'm just showing up because I got to show up. I'm just doing it because they told me to do it. I'm just doing my part and I'm going to sit down. Instead of being a servant, now I allow myself to be connected as a friend and I become intricate in this thing. So now when the way Jesus operates is the way I operate. Yes, sir. And truthfully, my realizing my friendship with the Father, because he said it, I didn't say it, Jesus said it, right? Everybody say Jesus said it. Because Jesus said that I call you friends. In other words, I'm trying to call you up to another level. I'm trying to call you up to something further so that you can know what I'm doing. And if you know what I'm doing, we can do this together. He starts talking, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works. He expected us to do greater works because all of us will be understanding more. Not just servants. No, don't say just servants. It don't mean you lose your servanthood. But now you're functioning from a different level of it. Are y'all understanding? The best way I can describe it is you go from serving, like being told what to do, to serving, passing out what you got in you. I'm going to say it again. You move from serving, like just being told, because that's both of those words mean serve. From being told what to do, right? And trying to do the right thing, but being told what to do, to now y'all on the same team, y'all one with the Father, y'all got the same thing flowing through y'all, ain't nothing blocking the power. So now when you serve, you are passing it out. You know, that's what they call being an able minister. If you look up the word minister, it only means to pass it out. But if I got to allow myself to graduate from servanthood to friendship, I got to allow myself to graduate from just serving. A servant is like distant. It ain't family. We not together. Y'all, you go to a restaurant. You don't tell your server your secrets. Come on. Tell the truth. Come on, sit on down. Let me tell you what happened to me today. No, you don't. You just want them to go get your drink and can bring your drink back. You don't have no sense of conscience. You may witness to them at the end, maybe, possibly. But for the most part, you're not trying to tell them all your secrets, what's going on. Even if you're with your family, y'all got into a little hard argument right there, you get quiet before they come back because you don't want them in your business. Ain't that the truth? Because you don't see them as your... But the friend, all things that I've heard of my Father, I made known to you because you are my friends. Now flip over to Galatians. And I got to touch on this. And before I, Galatians chapter 3, and I'll get down to a couple things. Our understanding of our relationship with the Father has to change. It has to graduate. Right? They said when I was a child, I did things as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In Ephesians 4 talk about don't be tossed to and fro. Be like children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Now I've got to, and it's talking about growing up into him in all things. Jesus did not come to incur a bunch of servants. He don't need your service. He needs your friendship. Because in your friendship, you understand that we're in this thing together. Are y'all listening to me? In your friendship, when I know that you're a friend, that I can start telling you the things that I wouldn't tell somebody else. I want to hear you more, Lord. I want to talk to you more, Lord. Well, wait, what you think you are? You a servant? I'm not going to talk to you that much if you say I'm a servant. I just want to serve you, Lord. No, Lord, I love you. I'm here for you. I ain't here for nothing else. I'm just here for you. Whether you do another thing, I'm just here for you. I'm not here because of no stipulation. I'm not even here because I'm scared to go to hell. That's a tough one, ain't it? Well, I won't say that one again. I'm not even here because I'm scared to go to hell. I'm not here because I don't want to go to hell and I want to go to heaven. I'm here for you. Oh, I need some loud amens in this thing right quick. I'm not here because you're saving me from hell. I'm here because you are my Father. I'm here because I love you, not what you can do for me. Oh, no. See, we live this Western civilization also very, very selfish. We're very, very us. We're very, very me. And it's not, sometimes it don't even look like it's selfish because, you know, we're friendly. Oh, but I don't even know if it's friendly now. I'm not sure. We're nice. But it's very me. Let me get mine. I'm not going to get my last because what I'm going to have. I ain't giving my life because how I'm going to live. Boy, Jesus would have had that connotation. Yeah. Whew. I ain't just here for you to get a ticket to heaven. I'm here for you. I'm here for you and who you are. I'm here to duplicate what you've called me and created me to duplicate. That's a different thing now. That's a different thing because if you're here because you're scared you're going to go to hell because you ain't here. Yeah, perfect love casts out fear. Oh, yes. Glory to God.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Ooh. Amen.
So Jesus said, I'm going to read this in a minute. Jesus said, I want you to be friends. Yeah. I need you to be my friends. I need you to stop acting funny with me. Mm. Come on, can we stop acting funny? Stop acting like you don't know me. Mm. You're all rigid. You act like you don't know me. No, this is me. Right. This is me. This is Jesus. This is the one that saved you. This is the one that died for you. I'm the one that's been telling you the secrets. It's me. Stop acting like we ain't friends. Stop acting like you don't know me. Stop faking like you just want to serve me so well. No. I graduate that. I remember one time we were sitting at a table and we were with Apostle and we had some other people with us. And, you know, me and my older brother, my younger brother, my son, we all of us were there, and he made a statement, and it shook me for a minute. He said, you know, we talking, and, if you ever sat with Apostle, he'll go off and he'll start talking. And, you know, just go from the next thing to the next thing. And he said, he makes a statement, he said, you know, because he said, y'all my friends. Now, I grew up in a black household. Y'all know exactly where I'm going. And in the black hole, I'm not your friend, boy. We're not friends. Talk to us like, no, we're not friends. I'm your daddy. You my son. Do what I told you to do. Don't be sitting up here like we ain't equal right now. Go sit your tail down somewhere. Y'all already know what I'm talking about. Talking to your kids like friends, right? That's the thing, right? Don't be talking to your kids like friends. You better let them know who the man. So, I'm still there. And he said, y'all my friends. He said, no, I don't really, he said, but y'all my friends. And I thought it was just because we would sit there and watch the game sometimes, or he wanna laugh about some things, and all that's cool too. But then now I realized what he was saying. He was saying there's a level of maturity that's come that now you know how to do it like I do it. Yeah. And now I can share some things with you. Let me talk to you for a second. I can share some things with you as a friend without it going to your head. I can share some things with you as a friend and you won't start disrespecting me. See, I was taught too that it's hard to become friends with people sometimes when you're a minister, when you have to leave people. It's hard to become friends with them, not because it's impossible, not because it's a law not to do it, but it's hard to become friends because you begin to disrespect the place. You begin to disrespect the order. Like, I could be your leader and still your friend, but I still got to lead you. Are you understanding me? I can be your friend, but if I'm the commander in chief, I can still be your friend. But when it's time to command in chief, we ain't got time to be talking about friends and your feelings getting hurt because I done said something kind of strong to you. But everybody can't handle that kind of relationship. Everybody can't handle it when I get to talking like that, because now when I get to talking like that, you start thinking you the one. And so there's a level. Everybody say maturity. I'm going to the next part now. Say maturity. Come on, say it again, maturity. There's a level of growing up. And you got to realize I was grown when he said this to me. I had to be, you know, it had to be within the last year or two, so I had to be well into my 30s. I was grown and had been doing some things and had been serving for a very, 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 very long time and mastered some of the places that I had to serve in. So I had done that so much and I've gone to the go get this and go get that and come back here and sit down and go back there and shut it down. Shut up, you ain't nothing. Come here. I done gone through the crucifixion and the whips and the beats. Are y'all listening to me? To the point to where maturity had me to a place to where even if you call me friend, I'll be like, okay. Yeah, we friends. But I still got my foot in that servanthood. Just because I got to step back. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? I never leave what I had, but I can still graduate and move forward. Because I don't disrespect the moment because of what I've come through. Are y'all understanding me? So at one time, Jesus was calling them servants. Right? But then there's a graduation to friendship, to where now we all know what we're doing, so now I can explain it to you, and then when you go do something, you'll do it just like me. There's been times of the maturity. There's been times, and I'm not even patting myself on the back, but hey, listen, there have been times that I did something and I had to come up with something or started working on something without being told to work on it, and then he came and told me about it after. That's friendship. You know, it was only a few day journey to the promised land, but it took him 40 years. It was only a few day journey for the children from Egypt to the promised land, but it took them 40 years. You know why it took them 40 years? Because they didn't know the friendship and they kept on trying to serve and they were doing a poor job at servanthood. So now if I beat him to the punch, Larry, if I beat him to the punch, then when he come and say what he want to say, it's already done. So now we can move to the next one. And time start doing like this. Because I'm really treating him like a friend. If you love me, keep my commandments. I found out Galatians chapter 4. Chapter 2 starts talking about 2:20. You know, I'm crucified with Christ. Y'all know that one, right? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ live within me. And the life that I now live, and I love it. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For righteousness comes by the law, Christ is dead in vain. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It sounds like a friend, right? For it is written, curse is everyone that hangs on the tree. I did it for you. To show you how to do it for yourself. Chapter 3, jump down to verse. I need to get to chapter 4, but I need to read this. Verse 21, and you have to read the context and most of the context for yourself, but I think I can pick it up from here. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for there has been law given which have given life. Verily, righteousness should have been by the law. In other words, if there was a law or a rule or something that was given that gave life, then righteousness is by the law. But it ain't like that. Verse 22, but the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given unto them that believe. Everybody say believe. Believe. I'm going to say it again, believe. Believe. So the promise is given to those that believe in Christ. When you're talking about believing in Christ, it's not just talking about your actions, it's talking about your living. It's talking about your identity. Yeah. Goes a little deeper than your hand. Goes to your heart. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. Y'all see that? The law was our schoolmaster. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Remember, we graduated, right? Come on, y'all remember we graduated, right? Come on, we graduated. I graduated, right? I graduated, so them teachers couldn't really tell me nothing. I can respect them for what they taught me, and out of respect, I'll listen to them because now, you know, we both graduates. Are y'all understanding me? But I was not bound to that school anymore. For you're all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, so you are put on the Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. You are all what? How many? How many in Christ? One in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So now you are heir according to the promise. So now you have a right to the same thing that the Father has according to the promise. But verse 1 in chapter 4 says this. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, different nothing but a what? No, there's nothing from a servant. We were talking about servant and friends a little while ago. Y'all saw that? Different nothing but a servant, though he be Lord of all. Verse 2. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. As long as we acting like a child, as long as we acting like we ain't nothing but servants, we'll not, if we put those two scriptures together, we'll never know how to do nothing. Because we're acting like a child. We hadn't grown up into him in all things. Listen to what I'm telling you. We hadn't allowed ourselves to mature as sons of God. We haven't taken it on. Now you say, well, how do I take it on? Well, there's levels of Jesus. I gotta go into this, but Jesus came walking. Y'all remember when Jesus came walking when he was 30 years old, right before he got baptized? They say he was about the age of 30. Well, people thought that was cute, and they just thought, oh, he was 30. Now it's time to go. No, well, 30 was the age that it took to be a rabbi in the Jewish tradition. Yeah. Rabbi means master. That means you couldn't be a master till you reach that age. That means when you get there, by the time you got there, you should have mastered something by now. Right? And really, even if you was paying attention real, real good, because we saw Jesus doing it when he was 12. Right? He was talking to people. He knew what was going on, but you still got to take that time because we ain't letting you go into this next level of mastery until you reach the age of 30. Are y'all understanding me? So now there's something that Jesus had to go through and be mastering according to their Jewish traditions before he'd be considered a rabbi in their traditions, which made everybody want to hear him after that. Don't think people were just listening because they were just listening. He was a rabbi. He was a master. He had graduated. And so there are things that we are in right now that we hadn't been mastering. If I get a little further, I had a couple conversations with a couple of people last week. If I get a little further about ministry, it helps here. How we do things, I said, Lord, what are we doing here? What do we do here when we meet all the time? What are we doing here when we're coming together? What are we doing here? Like, what is going on? What's going on here? He said, I'm trying to get you to master something. Be on time. What department you're working in? Master it. Because if you can't master that, I'll never be able to show you the true things. Where are you right now? At home, at your home right now. What is it that you're not mastering? How can I send you to all the world if I can't send you into your house? What are some things? Come on. When these things, sometimes stuff come up against you and different attitudes you deal with or whatever, right? Those are things trying to make you a master at that. You'll be surprised what you run into when you go outside your doors. And if I got to send you somewhere else, but I need you to master this here first. And then we can become friends and we can do it the same way. But if you keep being childish with it, you keep acting like a child with it. You pick it up, then you put it down. You pick it up, then you put it down. You walk over there, you read the Bible, something you don't read the Bible. You kind of go in the gospel, but you don't go in the gospel. If I become a child with it and I don't master where I am, then as long as I'm acting like a child, I do for nothing but a servant, though I be Lord of all. That is, I don't know how you would feel, but that is the most terrible feeling in the world for me to know that I had all these things at my hand, but I couldn't do them because I was acting like a child. That's one of the things when we do go to glory and we do go to heaven, I don't want him to tell me nothing that I left on the table. I don't want him to tell me nothing about, oh, you could have been doing this. I don't want to hear that. So I'm right here while I'm here now, I'm going to get it all done. Because I don't know, I know he's not supposed to be sad in heaven, but that'll be a sad moment for me. I know we're not supposed to cry, but I might break down if you tell me all the things that I could have done to assist your plan and I didn't do them because I was acting like a child. All the things that I could have done to assist your plan, but I wasn't mastering the thing that you put in my lap. Everybody say mastery. Mastery. Come on, say it again, mastery. Mastery. Lord, bless my business. Did you master what I gave you at first? Lord, send me, give me what I thought you was going to use me. Did you master what I gave you right here? Lord, I want to do great things. Did you master what I gave you to do right here? And then it's right here. It's with you all the time. It's right here, and I'm trying to do it over. And when I was in high school, I went to the same school every day. I didn't go to different places. I drove to the same. My sophomore year. My birthday's in the summer, so that summer before my sophomore year, I made 15. At that time, you're 15 to get your license, so I was ready. And thank God I got my car that same summer, so I was rolling. School right down the street. 7 minutes, so you know me. I'm trying to sleep till the last minute. I'm trying to sleep till the last minute. I can just roll out, throw the clothes on, get in the car, and be right in class before the bell ring. That was me. I'm trying to get that last minute of sleep. And so my sophomore year, I almost fell. 7 minutes down the street. Gave me a car. Got a license. Didn't have to pay for gas. They were putting in it. Right down the street, your only responsibility, son, was to get up and be on time for school. Your only responsibility was to get up and be on time for school. And what was funny was, well, I got you this car, and I thought you were responsible enough for me to give you a car and let you loose on the road. Amen. So I think you should be responsible. So they wasn't calling me. My mom wasn't calling me and waking me up in the morning. Come on, son, get up. No, we got you a car in the summer, so you're responsible now. So I thought more of you than you thought of yourself. But I'm giving you a chance. I have about 22 tardies. Oh my God, it's right. This. And then what was funny, I had a teacher that wasn't telling me. She just said, good morning. She be mocking me. I don't know if she ain't like me that much or whatever. God bless her. I love my neighbors as I love myself in Jesus' name. Watch. And I thought I was good until the judgment came. And I'm ready to pass the 11th grade. And I was proud of myself. I won't fail no grades. I ain't trying to go no summer school or none of that. I love my summers. And I get there, they say, well, you're not going to be able to pass. You got too many tardies. But I was like, I was there every day. Some days I slid in right by the bell or whatever. I thought I was good. You know, you're not going to be able to pay. So I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do now. Shout out to Mr. Eli, Jerry Eli. God bless Jerry Eli in the name of Jesus. And my grades were pretty good. I never got in any trouble. My grades were pretty good. They were on the up and up, thank Jesus. And everything. So they were able to work it out. I don't know what rules. I don't care. Here we are. That's too long ago, so we can't go back and revisit it, right? But some kind of way, I was able... They were able to pass me because of some other things I had going on. Thank God for that. But I just wasn't being responsible. So you know what happens in the summer. That one with the one talent came back and talking about, you know, you're supposed to do the work. He said, I knew you was a strong master. And I knew you sold where you ain't, you reap, you're lying, you ain't know nothing about me. Give me that talent. So them keys got took that next summer. I was only able to use the car for what they wanted to use it for. I was a servant. Go to the store, get some milk. Go to the store. At the time, my mom would call me, man. I just got to a little sleep. I'm just like comfortable. Montel. I said, yes, ma'am. And so it was like, if they didn't call you again, that means come here. They call you the first time and you answer, then they start talking and that's y'all supposed to talk. But if they call you once and they don't answer, that means you got to get up and come there. If you ever seen a apostle house, you know how far I was walking. They call me all the way over there. Go to the store and give me a Snicker. I say, God. Thought you was calling me for something. Servant. Because of not being responsible for what I had at the time. Man. For not being able. And I got to put two together because I know he wants to call us friends. And he calls us friends already. And he wants to share these things. And there are things inside of you that you don't know about yourself. That's really what he's trying to share with you. But you're blocking him from telling you things about yourself because we won't master what we have right here at this direct moment. Right here. I had to go to the same school. It didn't move locations. It didn't get no further away. It didn't change the time in the morning to try to trick me. It was the same time every time, at the same location every time. They just asked me to do one thing and master that. And if you master that, you can pass. Y'all stop getting into the same argument at home. Master that for a minute. Find out what's going on and stop having the same disagreement. Master that, then you can pass. There are some things that repeat over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and it's like it's brand new every time it repeat, huh? And you get to rebuke. Don't rebuke the devil. Rebuke yourself in the name of Jesus. And master where you are. If you're here working in ministry, it helps, and you have something to do, master it. Don't play around with it. Master it, because it has everything to do with you knowing what you need to do on the next thing. Someday it may be a life or death thing. And we don't need to be servants right now. We need to be friends. I need to know exactly what to do when I need to do it and how I need to do it. I don't need you to talk to me in distant right now. I need you to talk to me face to face. Are y'all understanding me? But a servant, an heir, as long as he's a child, is nothing different than a servant, though it be Lord of all. Jesus is saying he's calling you up to a higher place. He's calling you up to a higher situation with him. He's calling you up to a higher relationship with him. He's saying, let's be friends. Let's be friends. Let me show you the intricacies of how this thing works. I know you, some things you're trying to figure it out. I already figured it out. It's already done. It is finished. I've already finished this. Let's be friends. Can you master this thing? Watch this. How can you say you love God who you can't see if you can't love your who you can see?
Yes, sir.
So I want to say, how you going to thank God who you can't see if you can't say thank you to your brother who you can? I am a habitual thank you sayer. I will say thank you. Do something. Thank you. And you can come do the same thing. Rachel, know we at the house. Rachel, come bring fall. Thank you. Come bring something else. Thank you. I could have said one thank you for the whole thing because I knew she was coming back, but I keep saying thank you because I know that I can't be thankful nowhere else if I'm not thankful to my sister who I can see. How do you honor God and you can't honor your neighbor? God ain't always want to, watch this. God ain't always do everything you want him to do. He wasn't always the friendliest to you at the time. Sometimes there's some rebuke. Huh? Sometimes there's some whooping, ain't it? But I cannot, how can, but you honor, we can't, you can't honor him unless you, he's testing you with your neighbor. Are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
He's testing you with what's in front of you.
Yeah.
When the last time that you love somebody like you love yourself? When the last time you showed up like you want somebody to show up for you? When the last time it wasn't about what you were going to get, but what the other person could get, and you put your all into it for them? Want to be friends. But I cannot, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. You already are, but I cannot let you walk in this place. Listen, I cannot let you walk in this place and walk on this level if you've not mastered the ones before you, because when you get to that level, you'll abuse it. And I know you think you won't, but you will. I know there's some levels in money that you're trying to get to, but you haven't mastered the one before. I can get you to tithe off of that. I can't get you to realize that all that belongs to the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
How are we going to get to this next place? If you get to the next place without mastering this place, ain't nobody going to be able to tell you nothing. All right, anybody ever graduated or did something early? Nobody going to honor to it right now. But anybody ever got to a level too early before you were supposed to get there and now you felt like you was the stuff? Right? Until something came up and you ain't know how to handle it. Now you had to humble yourself and go back to the master and get the master show you how to do it. Yeah, because that'll be you. Who he talking to? He ain't talking to me right now. One of the top attributes of master is humility. Yeah. You want to be a master. You be Lord of all, but Jesus was Lord of all, but he's more humble than everybody else too. You never get him to walk in and say, I'm the man you've been looking for. I'm the one. You go read the scriptures. You never hear him say that. He never boasted about himself. Good master. He said, why you call me good? Ain't nobody good but God. You're mastering where you are. Are you understanding me? I want to be friends. I want to tell you all these things. I want to show you all these things. I want to show you how I move around and how I function like this. I want to do that for you, but I need you to master this first. Are you understanding me? Amen. Stand on your feet. Let's be friends. Father, we thank you for this moment. We just lift our hands. Come on, lift your hands for a moment. We lift your hands. We receive everything that you said to us tonight. Let it go down on the inside of us and never leave us, that it'll stick. And you as the master show us how to master. We'll yield to you, yield to your word, yield to your ways, and do it just like you've called it to be done. So right now, we just yield right now. We receive it right now in the name of Jesus. In our hearts, search us in our minds and in our hearts, and begin to make adjustments in us. Adjust us from the things that we think we already have down, and show us how to master it the way that you would. We thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for doing this on the inside of us, and we bless you for it. Amen. You may be seated. Ushers in the aisle, if you need to offer an offering, lift your hands.